County Organizer for Guilford County, North Carolina.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Just a quick question. I am trying to prepare the paperwork for our election, and I just wanted you to clarify for me that I should be getting four originals signed by each affidavit or each witness.
Right.
Rather.
Well, that has been the plan, but I've spoke to some people who have a lot more experience than I do in reality, in the courts themselves. And they told me that you really need only one original and probably should make only one original. So I'm going to make that correction tonight, and I probably should make a note there. You want one original, and once you have the original, you want to make at least three copies, okay?
Okay.
He told me you never give the original to the other side. You give them copies. If they want to see the original, you can produce the original, but they can't have the original. You must always, you know, control that original. You can also get an original certified, I guess, but that's another thing altogether. We'll never have to come to that point. So yeah, make one original, and then when you're done with that, you know, keep it nice and clean and get three copies, and then put the original in a very safe place and keep at least one copy with it. Then the other two copies you send out, one to the county clerk, the other to the court clerk.
Okay. Now, one other question. During the election itself, I know that we will be inviting everyone to become jurors. Now, we're going to have a notary there.
Uh-huh.
So would it be appropriate at that time to go ahead and have everybody take an oath to the North Carolina Constitution?
Yeah, you could. Well, we have our own oath. And everyone should take an oath definitely before you meet in any official capacity anyway. Everyone that ever joins the jury for any purpose as they come to get oriented, because eventually, you know, it'll be a physical thing when you'll call people in and they'll be oriented into the system and then take an oath. Now, the judge will give them an oath, too, when they if they're being called in by, let's say if it's a trial jury, the court's going to call for the trial jury, so we administer to the trial jury. We gather them together. We orientate them. We give them the juror's oath. And then the judge will come in and give them an oath, and then they go forward. The same thing with the grand jury. If the prosecutor calls for a grand jury, then we gather together the grand jury, make sure we have an oath on file for everyone, we make sure they've been orientated, and then they are delivered to the judge for the purpose of taking an oath, and he's gone again. Now, the oath that they give is a constitutional oath, and people can deal with it as they may. I think we need to make some changes there. We got to think more about that constitutional oath. The oath we take is really an oath to God. There's a copy of that up on our website on the jurist documents.
Mm-hmm.
And take that. That's the one that you should be doing. Now, that's really an oath to God, and we give a biblical authority of doing that as an individual, as you as an individual to do that. God permits that. And then basically the oath we're focusing in on is that we are going to do our best to act in justice, honor, and with mercy in all of our decisions, and under the two maxims that guide us, which is for every injury there must be a remedy, and the other one is for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. So that's what you're swearing to, that you will uphold those things. Now, that protects the grand jury also, because, you see, if you have an individual amongst you that is obnoxious and a problem and is just not doing the right thing, you can hold them to their oath, and you can the other, if it's a grand jury, the other 24 can remove them and replace that person, if that's appropriate, depending on where you're at. You know, if you're halfway through the process and you get rid of a jury, you can continue with 24 or 20. I think the minimum statutory is 16. I'll have to look into that, and we'll talk about that at a later time. But we'll probably follow the statutory guide, not that we have to. But we should have a minimum of grand jurors when we actually do actually make decisions.
All right, so at the election, then, I would invite all who would like to participate as a jurist and have them actually go ahead and sign an affidavit and have it notarized at that point?
You can do it right there and then. People can take the sheet home with them, sign it, and send it back, however you want to do it. If you have a notary, we usually have notaries when I go anywhere. We usually have notaries with us, usually more than one if possible. We do all the notary work there. And you can do that, and whoever is going to hold the papers will hold the papers. At some point that may change, but someone needs to take care of these things, be a custodian to it, until you decide who the four are going to be.
Right.
And it's not so much, if you have what the key thing to the four you're looking for is people that are really very serious to put full-time effort and start right away studying and looking into things and coming to understanding and learning, getting experience. Those are the four people will emerge. And if you're in a very highly populated area, you'll probably discover you'll need more than four. You'll have to figure out how many people. You need enough to administrate the system. And the four administrators are always identified as administrators for the grand jury. They're not grand jurists. Now, they may act as grand jurists in a certain capacity when they're called together, either by themselves or by the court. But during the interim time, they're really administrators of the system. And those four individuals will do all the investigation. They'll administer the process. They'll orientate the people. They'll call the individuals. They'll do all the, they just do all the administrative work. And so it's a full-time job, and it's a job that we want people to think about, that they're serious about this and are learning. It's not just a job. It's something that is more than a job, because this is the most important thing we as a people can do. So you want the serious people. Now, again, nobody really gets to decide who those people are. Those people just, see the need to fill the void, and they take it. Now, if you have six or seven or eight people that desire that, then you have to sit down and work that out.
Yeah.
Well, you have to work out who's going to be the four to take control and actually take the pay and so on and so forth. But I don't think you're going to have that problem. I think you're going to be hard to find one, and then two, and then three, and then four. Anybody else that wants to participate and learn and volunteer the time and come in and do those things with them for a learning process because they're interested or whatever, obviously they will be individuals being groomed for that position if that's what they want. On the other hand, you may have people who just want to help. We have people who tell me, when I get together in different counties and bring people in, I've had people come and say to me that, well, look, I got a job, I got a business or whatever it is. I don't want to leave it, but I'd like to help out as much as I can. I'd like to go on the investigations. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. Well, hey, whatever they want to do, let's do it. You can always take on a fifth wheel, so to speak,
Mm-hmm.
If you do an investigation and only 3 years can go and that extra person comes in, then that fills that extra void too. Everybody's got to work this out in their own ways and as a group, as a people, in their own county, in their own state, and they'll tweak it accordingly to their needs and how they figure things out. You may see another county do something similar to what you're doing, and they may be doing it better, so you may adopt doing that way instead of this way. Mm-hmm. We'll give you as much ideas and framework to work with, and you can copy it or you can tweak it, and we're free people. Do what you want,
Yeah.
But as long as we're with the principles, that's the key.
Okay. One other question. I know that we are going to have somebody at the election to videotape it.
I wouldn't do that.
Okay, so you recommend not doing that.
Absolutely not. It'll be used against you. And when I say used against you, I mean someone will look at the tape, come on, they only had 20 people there. That's what they'll do, okay? And they won't do that to themselves. We have government by the majority to participate. There are people literally elected on a handful of votes in different towns and places. It is what it is. We don't want to give them any fodder to come out after us. So definitely don't. And also, they may try to do retaliation in the beginning, and if they can't identify the people, they can't identify the people.
Right.
Here in New York, I know they'd love to retaliate, but there's way too many of us. And in order to retaliate, they'd have to go around and deal with people in every county across the entire state here now at this point. We don't print the names of the individuals on the papers they sign. And a lot of people's signatures you can't read. I know you can't read mine. And so if it's no typing next to it, you don't know who that person is. We're supposed to act in a certain, how would I say that word, anonymity? How do you,
yeah.
You know,
anonymity?
Is that it? Okay. You know, sort of anonymous. And that's how we're supposed to be anyway. The only required signature is the foreman. When you're acting as a whole, especially in the beginning, trying to get power, you got to hack. You got to, you know, you're going to get one signature for each seal you have. You want to create a seal, which we haven't made an impression seal. And anybody who wants, I'll show people how to do this. But you can create a seal, a unified seal. So once you come together as many grand and many juries as one, any letters or communications could be done under the seal of the unified seal. And right now in New York, we're dealing with, you know, we're doing that battle again. We've did an indictment. We're communicating. We're doing the paperwork tonight. We're going to show people what we're doing tonight, the next move we're making. And we're acting under a unified seal, so we don't have to go out and get 19 seals again and the signatures. So it's right. A unified seal with one signature. And that doesn't – that whoever holds that doesn't really have the authority to just do anything they want, but they have to – you know, there's communications and there's letter writing, and they have to have the ability to do that. Someone has to be given the authority to go forward with this. Mm-hmm. And you try to pick the best person with, that has the best writing skills in common law knowledge. Or get someone with the best common law knowledge, and then, of course, you can get two or three people working on this where someone else can work on the writing to write it up better and do the proper English and so on and so forth. So.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, I think I'm good.
Yeah, don't let anyone videotape this. It will definitely be something they'll try to use against you. They don't need to know how you're gonna have. Look, we've gone out and had only three people show up, and we did the process. We've had, you know, of course, places where 30 or 40 people show up, and we did the process. Nobody's going to tell anybody how many people came. It's right. That's not what this is all about. They're not going to ask, and they shouldn't ask. But if you put it down, it's a problem.
Okay.
They're going to make a problem. They'll make a problem out of a mountain out of any mole they can find.
Yeah. All right. You know, as far as, any of the other, like, for example, the press release that I just sent in to the newspapers, that obviously required my name and phone number.
Right. That's
but,
okay. Yeah, but bear in mind, when you do the witness and you do the affidavits, you're doing the witnesses and the affidavits, whether you're a jurist or not, is irrelevant. That's not what you're doing. So at that moment, you're not a jurist, okay? When you do the affidavit at the election or you sign as a witness at the election, all you are is a witness that you were there, you saw what took place, and you're swearing to it. And at that moment, you are not a jurist, even though you signed up and registered as one. You're not a jurist until you're called, or you're acting in an official capacity. And that's extremely important to understand, because you can never write a paper and deal with people as if you're a grand jurist or a trial jurist or a jurist in any fashion. That's why we're telling people you act from the standpoint of being the administrator, okay? And so you have a grand jury paper, but you're an administrator, and you're acting, always acting on behalf of the grand jury, signing under their authority when you're acting in the role of communications through letter writing. The only time you act on the role of a jurist is when you're actually in session and you're actually, you know, working on a situation and you're negotiating what needs to be done. Then you're acting in that capacity. And that only gets one signature, okay, the foreman's signature. And that signature does not have to have it written out whose name that is, because, again, even the foreman should not be known who they are. Now, the courts have the right only to know who the administrators are in order to exchange the processes, you know, the money that may have to take back and forth, and who they're going to call, and so on and so forth. But again, those individuals aren't necessarily the jury. You can be the administrators and pull a jury together, and the four administrators may be too busy and not even sit on that grand jury or that particular. Well, you don't want to sit in a trial jury. Administrators don't want to sit in a trial jury because it takes them away too long from their job. But definitely, you should probably sit on every grand jury if possible. But if you can't, you can't. And you should, you know, one person should be the foreman this time and another person that time. You know, you move that around. You don't want to have the same foreman every time you come together. Now, of course, you're coming together as a jury and you're looking at a case and the case goes on and you come together a couple of times, that's the same jury until that case is done. But once you disband as a jury and then you come back for new cases, now you redevelop again. And when people come in, you'll have people who will come in because they want to come in often, and so that'll be your first call list. You'll have people will pull out of the maybe the election registry. But you'll see the four, as you orientate these people and you have discussion with them, you'll see where people are coming from. You'll find people who pick up on this very quickly and have the capacity very quickly and easily, clearly, to be a foreman. So you should pass the foremanship on as much as possible to those people. We don't ever want to give them the ability to say, oh, yeah, you're a group of people, you seized control, and you're doing this, and you're doing that. You know, we don't want to give them that opportunity. And it's just right to pass that around anyway, because it's just an honorable thing to do. And remember, a foreman really doesn't have any more power than anyone else. They're just the organizer. You can find people with good organizing skills. Hey, why not pass it to them? And they keep things flowing, and they say, okay, let's hold off on that. We'll come back to it in a minute. Let's deal with this problem first. You see, that's all they are. And at any given time, the whole if a person is obnoxious in some way or whatever, they just think it's a problem. Everyone can get together and say, let's change foreman. You can do it at any time.
Okay. So basically, the administrators should not sign on to be jurists, right? They should just focus.
Well,
on
no, administrators should be jurists, but they should probably never go on to a trial jury, because I think that could take them away too long from their duties.
Okay.
The grand jury.
You can't really act in both capacities. So
yeah, it's kind of difficult for that person to go and act there. Yes, I think you're right on that. But as a grand jury, you can, you know, again, remember those four individuals are also they're the ones that did investigators. So they will be going out investigating a call. Someone calls with a problem, and you try to deal with it over the phone, maybe, because most problems are probably simple to deal with on the phone. And as long as you get results, who cares, you know? But if you have a situation, you're going down to some public office somewhere to talk to people, look at books, look into the records, look into the computers, whatever you want to do, you know, you're the boss. The boss owns that computer. So, you know, in that capacity, that's what the four is going to do. When they come back after an investigation and they decide that there's a problem here, they'll call the grand jury together. And they'll muster together a grand jury of 25, and they can be, they should become part of that 25, and they would relate their understanding of what, you know, their investigation results to the rest of the group, the rest of the jury, grand jury, and then they'll take votes to go forward with the investigation or not, and if they think it's enough to go forward with, they go forward, and then they start calling people in, investigating, and making some decisions, and then decide whether they'll always try to negotiate the problem first, no matter what it is. It's always the first course. We'll arbitrate as first, and then after that, if they can't arbitrate a solution, then they send it to the trial jury to hear the whole thing and let them make the decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, the way we've been running is really not very well. You know, obviously, we're running with puppet juries, and it's controlled by, you know, the government itself. It's controlled by the prosecutor and the judge, and there's a wink and a handshake and a nod,
right.
And it's all corrupt. And so bear in mind, these people have really overstepped their authority. Well, they've done it so many places. That's all they do all day long is overstep their authority. But they go out. And they will try to arbitrate a problem before, and not even bring it to the grand jury. They don't have the authority to do that. You know, these prosecutors think that they can negotiate a deal and then do a case without ever coming before the grand jury. No, they cannot do that. That's a wrongdoing. That's not his job. He doesn't have the authority. They'll intimidate and pressure. And then people say, okay, yeah, you know, I'll go to jail for 3 years because I'm afraid he's telling me I'm going to go for 12, you know. And they shouldn't do that. They can't do that. The other thing is that sometimes the grand jury will indict, and then after the indictment, the prosecutor will try to negotiate a deal. Again, not their job. They don't have the authority. That's the authority of the grand jury. That's
right.
Their job. That's the people's work. And the people will try that negotiation always prior to sending them if the person will plead guilty, because you could set the course before them. Look, we think you're guilty. That's why we're going to send you to trial. But, you know, and if you're not guilty, you're going to have to prove that at trial, unless you can tell us something right now that would make us think different and change our minds. You know, you always got to be ready to drop the case if they can prove. You know what I mean? We just don't want to go forward with a case that is wrong to go forward with. But, you know, if the person is guilty and you offer them the solution to the problem, I'm sure they're going to take it, and they're not going to waste their own time and money and court fees and, you know, with the lawyers and stuff, and the state doesn't have to put out money to people. So I think a lot of times negotiation, we're going to prevent a lot of cases from going to court, you know, because I think we're going to be able to negotiate them prior. And the key thing is restoring the injured party. That's what it's all about. No matter how you do that, it's irrelevant to anything else. That's what's honorable and that's what's just. So it doesn't have to go to a court. See, because if it goes to the court, the trial jury gets to choose on the penalty and so on, make the decision guilty or not, make the decision on the penalty. They're still the same. They're still the people. They're the people there or they're the people here. It doesn't matter. People have got to come to understand that mindset. It's a very important mindset.
Yeah. Okay. So again, just to confirm, you know, what we've decided to do here in North Carolina is try to get counties within regions. For example, like Piedmont Triad region has 12 counties. And then out by Raleigh-Durham, there's another big region, you know, before we actually file.
Mm-hmm.
We're still recommending that a significant number should be, or at least a large enough grouping to where we're...
Every group has to go according to their own feeling on this. We suggest a minimum of 5. And with that said, we in New York didn't do it until we had 17. And that was just the feel of what we thought would be the most appropriate because, you know, New York's a big problem state here. And we went for the hardest part to get first and foremost. We went for New York City. We achieved all of New York City with the exception of one county we're waiting on. But we achieved all the four counties down there, four of the five counties. We achieved the Long Island, which is pretty much considered the city, even though it's not,
right.
Which is two counties there. And then the lower counties, Westchester and Rockland, for us, that's like being in the city, too. Mm-hmm. So we achieved all those counties before we even went forward, and we went after them first, and then we continued northward. So from Albany down, we have those 17 or so counties represent better than two-thirds of the population of the state.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So based on population, that makes
sense.
Yeah,
and the friendliness of the state. There may be some states,
right.
that, and you know, there may be areas that are more receivable of this thing, then, you know, New York is extremely corrupt. And not so much the whole, well, actually everywhere, every county we're finding it, but New York City is the worst. But it's so corrupt, and I know your state is too. Every state,
yeah.
Every county, they bred this into our political and judicial process. And so, you know, there's powers in numbers. You might decide 10 is what it is. Whatever you as a people, as you come together, decide is the appropriate thing. You know, that's what you got to do. And you do want to do this in a way that you have at least 25 serious people that are going to really do things. You know, they're going to be there when you call them. Because in the process, once you get together, you may have to do what we're doing, and that is operate out of a tent, so to speak, because people are preventing us from coming into the system, so we indicted from a tent.
Yeah.
We came together, and we had the 25 or more at all times when we came together. So before you, if you can have the 25 people that you know and more, you know, that you know if you had to meet, you can pull that 25.
That's when you go. Pretty well on that. We have a number of people throughout the state that have actually been active in the courts for a few years now and have, you know, studied common law and the administration and all that. So we do have some great people already that we've connected with. So I think we're doing well. I mean, we feel good about where we're at and where we're going. So.
Right. All right, well, then, you know, again, it always boils down to the people in the room discussing the problem without outside influences or directions or rules. You make them up as you go. And again, they're made up out of principles.
Right.
Okay. It's really pretty simple, really, when you think about it. You know, it becomes the logical thing, the common sense thing, and that's what common law is really all about. You're really interested in the facts and the solution to the problem, with always the injured party in mind. Is how are we going to reinstate the damage? How are we going to reinstate this individual? How are we going to repair these damages to the best of our ability? And without going overboard, too, you know.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
People may be unreasonable. They may think they deserve more than, and the jury's got to decide that and say, no, they're just being unreasonable. You make the decision, you know, the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll muddle through this somehow.
Oh, absolutely. This is it's better for us to fail and lose our liberty than for someone to just take it away from us and decide for us.
Right.
So if we fail, it's because we failed. You know, right now we're failing to some degree because we failed, but generally speaking, is these crazy people have come and defrauded us and is robbing us of this.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, you know, enough people have awakened to what's going on.
Right.
So, you know, once you realize that, it's kind of hard to just turn your back and do nothing.
Right. Well, key thing to this is leadership and, you know, people coordinating things. Leaders should lead by example, not by direction. And of course, direction is important, too. And as people mature and come to realize that they, too, can be a leader, then they step up and they walk side by side. That's the way it should go. You know, we have to develop our state. You have to find a state leader. You can change that person as often as you want. That's up to the people. But you have to find a state coordinator, let's say. And that person in the beginning here is responsible for trying to work out leadership in every single county. They're looking and scouring the land, trying to develop the grand juries and assisting people in any way to get that done. And to encourage them and let them know you only need one person. You just go out there and constitute the grand jury in your county. You don't have to do anything until you get more people then, but constitute as early and as quick as possible and get lined up among the ranks and then get to know the people next door to you. You know, we encourage people to know people in the counties around them, and we travel all over the state to help people, and there's a lot of other people doing the same thing, just to be there to give support because it's that important. And in certain areas of high population particularly, but every place, you should have 3-4 counties always working together. In New York City, I tell them, look, don't even think of doing anything without working together as a group. You got 5 counties, you should have 5 minimum leaders, ultimately 20, and you should be working to develop the solutions to your problems. And there's power in numbers. You come together in numbers. You put your seals together as one in a problem in a particular county, at least in the beginning, because it's going to be the hardest time, and do what has to be done. So we need leadership. We need leaders in every county, and we need a state leader. And again, people can change that leadership as they will. We're going to develop the site in such a way that we will have 50 administrators. These people will be responsible to keep order on the site because we're going to do a lot of things. There will be a lot of interaction and stuff. And anything's inappropriate, it's up to them to deal with it. And that person is someone chosen by the counties of your state. And you can leave them there as long as you want. You know, it could be 6 months, a year, 3. It doesn't matter, whatever the people want to do. But this, when you have 50 individuals administering to the site itself, you now have, the people have the control. We don't want a top-down control. Then we'll have maybe one national administrator, which really doesn't have too much power other than the fact that they're organizing the whole country, you know, the whole nation. And that person would be replaced by, especially if there's a problem, by the 50 administrators, or they'll be voted in by the 50 administrators. They'll change the individual as often, once a year, every 6 months, every two, whatever they figure they want to do. I don't know. We the people have to sit down and talk about what seems to be right there. And that's how we will prevent us from becoming infiltrated from the top down again. We can never become a top down control. It's always got to be a bottom up control.
Now, as far as this seal that would encompass many different counties, you right. know, that would agree to it, is that information on the site already?
The unified seal?
The unified seal?
Yeah, we're going to show that tonight. We've showed it before, but maybe we really haven't focused in on it. But we'll focus in on it tonight.
You know, we're not really in a position yet, but I'm just...
Well, you can create it and set it aside and
yeah.
have it ready for when you need it, because when
right.
you do your first filing, you might find you're going to need it, and you're going to want to act as one. And remember, that unified seal is not used in an indictment or anything. It's only used for communications. And we don't have an actual, you know, physical seal that puts an imprint on a paper. We just have a seal that's an icon. We cut and paste and put it on next to the signature. And that might be sufficient. You know, we're talking about buying one. I don't know whether it's necessary to buy one, but maybe we should. That would make it a little more official, so maybe we should. So you have to decide, well, the person who is the state coordinator would be the person that would probably hold that seal, but not necessarily so. You want to get the most qualified individual, and he or she may not be the state administrator, who has the ability to write, articulate, but particularly write the expression and the will of the collective, so to speak, and write it in a way that is in somewhat legal terms, common law terms, let's say, you know, do a decent job, you know, that person will emerge. You'll see them eventually, and people will agree, yeah, that's the person for that. Well, yeah, that's the person for that. You have to work that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you can change any of these things at any time by majority vote, period.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't think I've covered everything that I had questions about.
Right. So. All right, well, you can call back any time, and you know, we can continue and talk some
all
more.
Right.
And you can get us Monday nights, of course, you know.
Yes.
You know.
You're always interesting.
Oh, well, it's the subject matter that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think everybody's like on the edge of their seat waiting to see what happens in New York.
Right. Know. Even we are.
Yeah. Hey, it's exciting.
It is. It is exciting times, but it's dangerous times, and it could be frightening times. So we don't have too much time to get frightened. If we spend too much time there, we won't do anything.
You're right.
But we have to come to terms with the reality we're dealing with from time to time, and sometimes people say, oh, you can't talk about that, or you shouldn't say too much about this, you know, and nobody really wants to. But, you know, reality should not be ignored, and from time to time you have to bring up the reality, and it's not that you're really trying to frighten people, but you're trying to make them to become conscious of the fact and realization of what we're doing and how important this is, and that's a driving force to say, wow, we don't have the time. Until you come to that point, wow, we don't have the time, you're not going to be moving with haste. But when you come to that point, you'll be moving with haste because we've got to get this job done.
Yeah, I agree.
So it is a motivator, you know. The fear of what's coming upon us is a motivator, but nothing to be dwelt upon.
I agree. All right. Well, thank you for your time.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
I'll talk to you again.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.